Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hi, it's Bob here from the future. I'm recording this about an hour after we finished recording today's show. Why? Well, naturally, because after we finished today's show, it was announced that the grand jury in Manhattan has voted to indict Donald Trump. The word here from the New York Times, the unprecedented case against Trump will have wide-ranging implications. A Manhattan grand jury voted to indict Donald J. Trump on Thursday for his role in paying hush money to a porn star, according to four people with knowledge of the matter. A historic development that will shake up the 2024 presidential race and forever mark him as the nation's first former president to face criminal charges. I didn't think we were going to see this until at least sometime next month. I wish it would have happened when we were doing the show, honest to God, but I don't care. I'll take it. It's good news. And the Mar-a-Lago catch-up threat level is catastrophic right now. Okay, let's start the show. We had no idea this was coming, so just listen to the show with that in mind. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
I protest. I am not a merry man.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, March 30, 2023, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 799 of the Biden-Harris administration, 586 days until the 24th presidential election. I'm on Instagram. You can find me at this handle. I am called The Bob Seska on Instagram. On Spoutable, I'm just Bob Seska. On Twitter, BobSeska_go. Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. And sitting right over there is the Goth Ninjas. Yeah. It is Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast. Patreon.com/FromTheBunker. Also the Stephanie Miller Show, StephanieMiller.com. David Ferguson, we sometimes call him T-Rex. His music project is Astral Summer. That's the name of the project. AstralSummer.Bandcamp.com. All right, we're getting a bit of a late start, so I apologize, Goth Ninjas, for all of the extra time that I'm taking here. between us logging in and starting the show. It's mainly because we got some breaking news right before we started the show that comes to us from Reed O'Connor, Judge Reed O'Connor. Those of us who follow this idiot know exactly what he's all about. You might remember the name Judge Reed O'Connor. He's a federal judge in Texas. He was the one who tried to completely overturn and repeal the Affordable Care Act some time ago. Something about the individual mandate, how if you zero out the individual mandate, then the whole law becomes invalid. That nonsense. Eventually, I think the appeals court upheld it. And then amazingly, it went to the Supreme Court and they struck it down 7-2. So there is hope for that Supreme Court, even though there is very little hope, but there's a teeny tiny wafer thin bit of hope. Teeny tiny.
Teeny tiny wafer thin.
Wafer thin.
And yeah, wafer thin.
After dinner mint, monsieur, yes. It's wafer thin.
Fuck off, I'm full. Yeah.
So now he has ruled on the Affordable Care Act once again. by striking down a key provision. This is one of the best things in the entire Affordable Care Act. He struck down the preventative care aspect of the Affordable Care Act. That means you get all kinds of things free through your health insurance
mammograms.
Company. Mammograms, cancer screenings, PrEP.
Yes. That's for HIV.
There you go. And a ton of pregnancy-related care. That was all covered under the Affordable Care Act. Now, with this guy, it's no longer. And the ruling applies nationwide. So,
now, can the administration appeal?
I think they will, and mainly because the Supreme Court overturned his previous ruling about the Affordable Care Act. And the reason they overturned it is not necessarily because they disagreed with the ruling, but because he didn't have any standing. I think it was a venue thing. Like, a federal judge from Texas couldn't overturn the entire legislation, or the lawsuit was brought in the wrong venue. And it's possible that that could be the case once again. I don't know enough about this at this point. We just got the news, as I said, right before we started the show. But once again, it's Reid O'Connor taking out his obvious rage against Barack Obama and anyone who dares to use the benefits of the Affordable Care Act.
How dare we?
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like these guys just want to pick away at this law. And so far, so good. So far, it's kind of held up. Because of that, I feel a little bit more hopeful than I normally would, even though this is bad and infuriating and so on. I mean, this covers mammograms, colonoscopies, other things. When you go in and you get preventative care with your HMO or whatever, you know, the charges are nothing.
It saves the insurance company money.
Yeah.
So much more money down the road. Because if you don't spot, you know, something in a colonoscopy or a breast exam, it's a lot more expensive to treat cancer.
Right.
They want to get rid of the lifetime caps. They want to get rid of a bunch of shit. Because right now, if you get sick, there is no lifetime cap anymore. Whereas before it was like $1 million.
Which is stupid because, I mean, there shouldn't be one.
Of course not. I mean, we our country sucks when it comes to healthcare. And by the way, for those of you that are remembering the mask mandate thing, that wasn't a legislative thing. That was a presidential order or a CDC thing. So that's why that one stupid judge could overrule the mask mandate on planes versus this guy is going to have to go to the Supreme Court on this.
Well, this lawsuit was led by Jonathan Mitchell. He's the architect of Texas's six-week abortion law that offers a $10,000 bounty to private citizens who successfully sue abortion providers. So another quality human being who's really concerned about the little guy. This is obviously going to tackle inflation and all kinds of other things. But I think ultimately, as I said, this is going to turn out okay. That's my hope. I don't know. Because the first thing you think of...
I don't know why you think anything in this country should turn out okay at this point. Like, you know, Trump is still fucking out there, still giving the media their marching orders.
Right.
And this is something that has really bugged me this week. The fact that he told this atrocious lie on Truth Central.
Truth Central.
And the entire news industrial complex ran after it like a dog chasing a set of jingly keys. Like, it's just – the media is not doing their fucking job. At some point, they have figured out that as bad for the country as Donald Trump is, he's good for the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are about to 2016 us right into a second Trump term because they are chasing clicks.
Social media isn't helping either. I mean, obviously, the news media is always an issue, always a problem. They continue at Fox News. They continue to lionize Donald Trump for some reason, even though behind the scenes they all hate Donald Trump. Social media is, and especially Elon's Twitter, is becoming a breeding ground for Russian bots and trolls who are buying up blue checks with that ridiculous Twitter blue system. So, yeah, it feels like we're headed into a repeat of 2016. And the other thing that's so frustrating about that is it seems like a lot of people just forgot. Like, what? There was a thing in 2016 where social media got corrupted and helped Donald Trump get
elected? White media people have forgotten. You know, like, I think back to right after Thanksgiving when Nick Fuentes had gone to dinner at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
And like, there was that little twerp from Politico, Jake Sherman, who was, like, bug-eyed with rage that, like, oh, my God, the president's having dinner with an open anti-Semite. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as that had been excused away and he went back to just attacking black and queer people, the newsrooms of America were like, oh, let's move on.
Yeah.
And they just completely amnesia their way out of it. And it's like, this is why we need more writers of color, more LGBTQ people in newsrooms. And because it's really, it's just like, if you go to like a major political press conference in Washington, you look around at the media corps and it's all white guys and rich white girls.
We're seeing another news media abortion taking place on Fox News right now. And obviously, by extension, the entire Red Hat Entertainment complex in reaction to the shooting in Nashville. And the meme now going out, the talking point now going out is this shooter is now known as, and I'm talking about on the Red Hat Entertainment Complex, all the podcasts, internet, and of course, Fox News and its copycats. They're referring to the shooter as the trans shooter.
Of course.
As though.
Which the fact that they have to call it the trans shooter should tell you something about how dangerous trans people are.
Exactly.
Well
thank
said.
You.
Yes.
I mean, let's
yes.
talk about the 99.7% of other mass shooters who are all straight white men.
Exactly right.
And all conservatives. I mean, this is the thing. I'm so frustrated with Democrats right now because they are flubbing the messaging. They are dropping the ball and just being like, you know, this gentlemanly boys club of the Senate and the House that they have, when it's like people need to be getting in their faces and saying,
that was
you
happening.
Don't give a fuck about children.
Let me defend the Democrats
here
for a second. That was happening
in people's
yesterday.
Faces right
yes,
now, yeah.
yes. That was happening. There was a whole fracas that broke out inside the Capitol building between a Democrat and a whole bunch of Republicans.
He was this so is, good, too.
Yeah. Democrats are swarming the state Capitol. In Tennessee. There's massive yep. protests happening right now. The Democrats are doing everything they can as far as pushing back against Republican-controlled legislatures. I mean, there's nothing that's going to happen in Congress.
But I feel like every time a Republican says, we shouldn't give kids free lunch, or we should, you know, we got to ban drag shows for their children, anybody in that room who's not a Republican needs to say, you don't give a fuck about children.
Well, that's what they're
you
saying.
You just don't.
That's what they're saying.
Okay.
That's the response
behind the
right
ball
now.
A little bit because I'm livid and kind of tuned out because I'm full of despair and I'm exhausted.
I understand that.
Right
and
now.
That's completely acceptable as far as, I mean, we all go through phases like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, the focus has got to be on two things that are driving this epidemic of gun violence in this country. Two things almost exclusively. The gun lobby industrial complex, that's a big part of it. In fact, I would say that's the main driver of the gun violence in this country. And you can lump in under the gun lobby the massive amount of sales of firearms. Because the gun lobby is all about selling as many guns as possible. It's like their goal is buy more guns, America. They're there because for-profit gun manufacturers need lobbyists in Washington to make sure that their industry remains legal. That's their purpose. So they're spending piles and piles of cash to make sure every American who wants one has as many AR-15s as they could fit into their ridiculous trailers, into their gun hobby rooms and their arsenals. And yeah. But the other half of this.
The vast bulk of Trump's supporters were people making 70 grand or more a year. Remember that.
Yeah. Well,
they talk about economic anxiety and like this is the poor people. It's like, no, this is rich white people.
Yeah. Well, I was being stereotypical. The other half of the equation is what I call the gun culture in this country. It's a matter of supply and demand. That's the problem with guns right now, and it actually provides a solution that we can very easily pursue. We've talked about this many times before, during other times where there have been mass shootings, where I think if we cut into the demand for firearms, has nothing to do with the Second Amendment, to say to people, firearms and stockpiling firearms is a cowardly, un-American thing to do that will only get you shot with your own firearms. To take an approach like we did with cigarette smoking in this country. With a national ad campaign, you get consultants.
Drunk driving.
Marketing. Yeah, drunk driving is another one. You get marketing teams in there. We've got all the smart writers, too. We can put this all together and have a cultural movement that completely sidesteps Congress and, to an extent, sidesteps state legislatures where the real rollbacks of gun regulations are happening. And focus primarily on why people want these guns in the first place. Why are people buying so many firearms? Well, we know why.
Because small penises.
Yeah. Well, also, it's wired into American DNA. It's wired into the genetics of living in the United States. Whether you're talking about the Revolution or the Civil War or the romance of the Wild Wild West and so on. These are all things, or the heirloom quality of firearms, where fathers hand them down to sons and they become these antiques that you revere as part of your family history. These are all the things that we need to chip away at and say, well, look, what we're talking about here is a retail product that is designed specifically to destroy life. That's why it's there. Hal Sparks is saying, yes, these are portable abortion machines. That is exactly the way you start to tackle this. You start to eat away at the romance and lure of owning these guns in the first place. That doesn't require, you don't have to trample on the Second Amendment to do that. That's what makes it so easy to do. We just have to decide to do it and stop jumping from gun massacre to gun massacre, where in between we're like completely forgetting that it ever happened. While at the same time, rolling back, obviously, the proliferation of these firearms, the sales of these firearms. But that's a more difficult challenge because you run into the constitutional aspect of it. No matter how we all personally feel about the Second Amendment and what it really means, the fact of the matter is that courts, especially over the last 20 to 30 years, have been very small L liberal when it comes to defending the Second Amendment and gun ownership.
Even in the Heller case, Scalia said, you know, you can't have a, you know, an RPG. So it's like, come on, kids. And by the way, with that scumbag from Tennessee who said, oh, we just, you know, crime's gonna crime.
Yeah.
Well, then why is Tennessee not allowing women to get abortions by law? Because if crime's gonna crime.
Well, it was the same with Chris Christie. Saying that, yes. Oh, you know what? We've got enough gun regulations on the books already.
No, we don't.
Yeah, this is right on the heels as state legislatures across the country, red state legislatures, are rolling back all those regulations. Tennessee,
exactly.
Yeah, making it legal to permitless open carry in Tennessee. We've got a similar law we're going to talk about here in a second in North Carolina that was just passed. But going back to the trans killer part of this, this is a serious thing because now. Remember what happened after 9/11? After George W. Bush said, don't take this out on Muslim people, naturally, Americans started to take it out on Muslim people inside the United States. And now they're blaming this one shooting on the fact that the assailant was a trans person.
Maybe trans.
Maybe.
We don't even know.
Thank you.
Because she, basically, there was one, it's LinkedIn. Her LinkedIn profile said he, him. That was it.
Yeah.
Well, and when they say that she targeted, and I'm going with she because her friends call her that, her parents call her that, everybody's calling her that,
okay.
And she's still friends with she was still friends with those people.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with she. First off, there's only been four women, by the way, that have ever done this in our history.
Yeah, it's
secondly,
a very male thing.
Yeah, it's super male. So
because it's super messy and inconsiderate. Like women are like, oh no. That would make a big mess.
And then they're saying it was targeted, like a targeted to against Christians. No. It was targeted against that specific school, for sure.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
So
she targeted that school.
How come when Dylann Roof walked into a church in South Carolina and shot nine black elders,
that were Christian?
How come that wasn't considered an anti-church attack?
This landed David on fertile ground. They had already started this, as we've been talking about for weeks now. They've already started this holy war, right, against trans people. And so what this is being fed into that same frame.
Yep.
It's the same agenda that they have been playing with for at least the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So this
I know that. This person played right into what they wanted.
Part of me wants
to be, though, like, just like, let's embrace it and be like, okay, queer people are pissed off. You keep coming at us. We'll start shooting back.
We are not going to say that. No.
That's why I said a part of me wants to embrace that, but no.
Okay. Thank
furious.
You.
I'm fucking livid because, I mean, I was just like out on my rounds this morning, you know, and I've had a sad day. It's just been one of those days where I woke up and I'm feeling like despair and overwhelmed and just like, I don't, and like, I was talking about it to one of the woman who was working at the counter at one of my stops, and she's black, and I just like I gave her a hug, and I was like, "I'm sorry, my generation was not able to make this a better place for y'all, you know," because I feel like I did everything I could, and yet here we are. And then my next, you know, I leave there and walk three doors down to my next stop, and there's a trans woman working who's another friend of mine, and I'm just like, again, I'm so sorry that my generation and the people around me and the activists that I was part of, like, did not see this coming and find a way to stop it.
Because
this is exactly what gay men went through in the
80s. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when they were like, gay men have AIDS. We have to keep them away from the children. The children. And I'm so fucking sick of this bullshit. Of them, like, doing everything they can to make children's lives harder.
Yeah.
No after-school programs, no free lunches, no postnatal care, like no prenatal care, and yet we've got to keep, you know, we got to protect the children. Well, fucking protect the children, you goddamn feckless c***s.
Yes! Spicy T-Rex.
Yes.
If you say you love children, then fucking prove it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think what you did, I think, is a good thing. And I keep saying, if you have trans friends, if you know any trans people, and
related to some,
you're a normal, you're one of the normal people, reach out to them and let them know that you've got their backs. This is immensely important because this is a movement
to
eradicate.
Normal. They're normal trans people.
Right.
Exactly.
But this is a movement out to eradicate their lifestyle from the American public square. And so, like,
and it's not their lifestyles, it's their lives.
Yeah. I mean, Tucker Carlson
saying,
they
want them dead or detransitioned.
We are witnessing the rise of trans violence, Tucker Carlson said.
Oh my
said,
God.
With the word
that
trans
fucking piece of shit.
Killer. He had a logo over his shoulder that said trans killer. Marjorie Taylor Greene speculated on Twitter as well as during a congressional hearing on Wednesday that hormone treatments may have played a role in the shooting, even though there's no evidence the shooter was on hormone therapy.
I don't think she was on any hormones.
Yeah.
I really don't.
And by the way, the
Marjorie, when they do HRT with you and put a patch full of monkey glands on your ass, are you going to go shoot up a Kroger, you stupid
What do you say, monkey glands?
I love it.
Yeah. Dried up sandpaper face. Shut the fuck up about trans people.
So that's
stop coming
man,
for queers.
Go, keep going, David. Go.
Three C words I got to bleep on the show. So, but
here, honey, you don't have to bleep a C word.
I'm bleeping the C word.
I'm a lady person. You can say.
Oh God! No, that's what. Six C
beep,
words.
Beep, beep.
I'm going to spend the whole day bleeping. But what I'm getting at here is, where was that? What was I saying? Oh yes, the amount of testosterone that trans men take is the same amount of testosterone that middle-aged cis men take when they're on testosterone replacement. It's the same dose. Yeah. It's the same goddamn dose. So if we're going after hormone replacement now for trans men, then you got to take a look at podcasts like Joe Rogan, which is an ongoing advertisement for testosterone. I'm not criticizing testosterone replacement. I'm just saying that if you're going to go after the one, you have to go after the other too. But we can't expect that kind of honesty from a doofus like Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Well, and also, isn't she also blaming cis men that have testosterone naturally?
No.
So that if you get testosterone, then you're a cis man, so therefore you're more violent than everybody else.
Well, Tucker Carlson was also saying that trans people are the natural enemy of Christianity because what they're doing is they're telling the world that God made them incorrectly. Like they're contradicting God's purpose with
talk
their original
Kimberly
gender
Guilfoyle.
Side of her. Yeah, yeah. Well,
yeah, Kimberly Guilfoyle is like so much plastic that she's part of the Rubbermaid family of products.
But once again,
is she the enemy of God?
Once again, God said, "You 50-year-old man, you're going to have less testosterone than you had when you were 25." That's what God said. And if you're on testosterone replacement, you're contradicting God's purpose with how your
Viagra.
Hormones are supposed to work. Yeah. Hello, Viagra. Exactly.
Yeah.
Donald Trump said
seriously,
on Wednesday,
like, listen, old man, God tried to put your piece of meat to sleep.
It's going to stay asleep, motherfucker, because that's God's will, you Christian.
Ugh. You almost said the C word, right? Didn't you? You were almost going to go
close.
There. All right.
I was close.
The C word and the T word are words that I bleep on the show. Former President Donald
Trump. How much testosterone do you think Tucker takes?
Zero.
Not enough.
It can't be much.
No.
You know, you know that is the saddest little penis in network television.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, honey, it
probably
makes
just
looks Donald's
like three
look
little
big.
Bird eggs in a nest, you know?
It's
like
so small.
Three little bird eggs in a nest. Okay, so Trump said on Wednesday without evidence, also connected the Nashville shooting to hormone therapy and, quote, the anger that was caused during an interview with conservative talk radio host John Fredericks, who I've never heard of. Trump said he banned transgender people from serving in the military because the amount of drugs they have to take is so incredible. No, it's not. No, it's not.
No.
Even
no,
though
it's not.
It's totally not. Testosterone is, by and large, cheap. Injectable testosterone is super duper inexpensive on a month-to-month basis. But Donald Trump doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He's making all of this up anyway. So why am I even bothering to debunk? While appearing on Tuesday on Laura Ingraham's primetime show on Fox News to discuss the Nashville shooting and hate crimes against Christians, Josh Hawley criticized gender-affirming care as mutilating children. See, this is all, they're, what they're doing is they're tying all of this into their anti-trans agenda.
So it's not too soon for that, but it's too soon to talk about gun control.
Yeah, he said maybe rather than talking about guns, we should be talking about lunatics pushing their gender-affirming bullshit on our kids, he said. There's a clear epidemic
of
trans... Yeah,
because so many trans shooters have killed people. I mean, it's just like, dude, there's only one.
He said
you've been able to identify.
But he said there's a clear epidemic of trans non-binary mass shooters. That was that was Don Jr. who said that. Don Jr. said there is a clear epidemic.
Air quotes the whole time. Air quotes.
Yes, there's one. 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 And that even gets like an asterisk with a maybe next to it.
And that's a question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, one. But, oh, my God, there's an epidemic of trans people shooting children. What? One of the most fervent anti-trans activists on the right, Matt Walsh we're talking about here, called the gender ideology movement the most hateful and violent movement in America. Yeah, the Nazis have
Where?
A word. Nazis would like a word with you, Matt.
Yeah.
The fucking Oath Keepers are the 3%ers. They're the ones that attacked and injured 149 fucking cops on January 6th. I don't understand. Like, it seems to be the cognitive dissonance, even for the dumbest ones, should be starting to sink in a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, we back the blue unless they're in our way mm-hmm. when we're trying to overturn a Democratic election.
Yeah, we back the blue except the FBI and any sort of federal law enforcement whatsoever. We only back some of the blue. Yeah, Matt Walsh also said that left-wing trans extremists are violent, dangerous people.
What?
There it is. There it is. Yeah.
So my grandniece, she's a violent person.
So expect lots more bullying. Expect lots more suicide. What the Republicans want to do after the violence of Nashville is to manifest way more violence. These are not people who settle their differences by using reason and words and debate. What they use is bullying, fighting, bellicose language, disinformation, propaganda, fear-mongering, and people are going to die as a result of that. We're going to solve this problem that happened in Nashville by making sure that trans people are further bullied, further murdered. So, meantime, North Carolina residents no longer need a permit to buy a handgun. The state's Republican-led
Yay!
Legislature eliminated the longstanding permit system that required local sheriffs to perform character evaluations and criminal history checks of pistol applicants. Although Democratic Governor Roy Cooper vetoed the measure, the legislature overrode the veto. Yeah. The permit repeal takes effect immediately. This is today. This is the optics that they're choosing. In the wake of more children being murdered in school, they have decided, hey, Let's make sure more people can just walk around without guns and be completely unidentifiable. Have no system whatsoever of tracking those guns. Have no way whatsoever holding those people accountable for what they do for those with those guns. Mm-hmm. This is madness.
The House, the fucking House Republicans were replacing their American flag pins with AR-15 pins.
Today. Yeah. Still. Still.
Like, Jesus fucking Christ. I just...
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
I don't think I'm going to be funny today. I'm too angry to be funny. I just want to bust heads today. Matt's like, I'm going to fight the trans agenda till my last dying breath. I'm like, you do that. I hope it's Thursday, you know, like, or next Thursday.
Well, for
like,
someone who's pledged not to be funny today, you've already been very funny. So I'm just saying. I don't know if that's been the goal or not.
Angry
but,
funny, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
All but, right.
Like, I'm just...
Yeah. I'm with you, David, honey. I'm so...
And I feel like... We can no longer, I mean, not that we ever really could, but like even like MSNBC and the supposedly friendly media outlets out there are focused on their bottom line. And yeah. They know that Donald Trump makes them money.
Why are people obsessed with buying these guns in the first place? What is it about that? And how can we strip that motivation away from the entire culture? And that, I think, needs to be the focus.
That they need them for home defense, which is completely fucking ridiculous.
Well, of course. And all there needs to be...
Perfectly adequate home defense from a shotgun.
Yeah. Have a whole series of ads recreating situations where people's firearms are used against them in their own homes, which is, by and large, statistically speaking, that's what happens. If you have a firearm in your home, you're far more likely to be shot by that firearm than you are to shoot an assailant in your home with that firearm. That's just math.
No, the statistic. Do you know how many firearms that are sold in this country every year end up getting used to repel a home invasion?
How many? What's the number?
0.01%. 1/10 of 1%.
Wow.
And you got to be prepared because the thing when these motherfuckers say, oh, we got to arm the teachers. First off, you don't trust them with books.
Yeah.
So you're going to trust them with a gun. Not a good idea. And secondly, it's the element of surprise. Like in Uvalde or in somewhere else, it was Uvalde, I believe. They had an armed guard there that was like, well, it's open carry. I don't know what to do. It's Texas. And he didn't want to shoot the guy because it was legal for that guy to carry around a fucking gun.
Yeah. Well,
so seriously, armed. By the way, regardless, element of surprise is the thing. So if we have armed guards, what's the shooter going to do? Shoot the guard.
Well, the other thing with arming teachers is anyone who's seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off understands that students can get a hold of whatever teachers are hiding from them. If teacher takes your cell phone away and locks it in a closet somewhere, somehow kids manage to get that key and break into that closet to get their phone back or whatever it happens to be that was confiscated or something, you know, test results or a test paper that's getting handed out the next day. Kids get their hands on shit all the time. Having guns in schools with easy access for industrious children is a huge
mistake?
Dumb move. And the other thing is, the whole optics of turning our schools into Thunderdome. And by the way, I always go to the Thunderdome example, realizing that Bartertown had a ban on firearms inside the borders of Bartertown. So even in the Mad Max fictional universe, you had to turn over your firearms at the
Tombstone,
gate.
Baby. Tombstone, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Tombstone, Dodge City.
Yeah.
There was a ban on guns there, too, inside city limits. This is the fiction that gets spread around. And this is where these are things that can be said in national ad campaigns and public service announcements and so on that start to chip away at the fiction, the allure of firearms and why these things are so sexy and portrayed as something that's masculine and virile and patriotic.
Yes.
We need to cut that tether between gun ownership and all of those over-the-top ideals. Yeah. And I think that can be done. There's no constitutional issue about that. I can't emphasize that enough. You got to go with the path of least resistance.
I also
resistance
think they
on
need
this
to be insured like vehicles.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's a great idea.
The faster and more dangerous a car is, the more you have to pay to insure it.
Seriously, your color of your car increases your insurance.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Malcolm Nance was talking about that on Stephanie's show the other morning.
Yes.
Talking about, yeah, we should get them. And Malcolm Nance is a gun collector.
Yes.
So he was saying, yeah, we should. These things should absolutely be insured. I mean, who was it a couple of weeks ago? Michael Knowles was drawing that comparison between automobile deaths and gun deaths. Well, I'm perfectly fine with regulating firearms the way we regulate cars and drivers. We've talked about this a bunch of times.
It should be at least as expensive to insure an AR-15 as it is to drive a Maserati, to insure a Maserati.
And then the lower the problem with the gun, like it's a revolver, lower insurance rates.
Yeah.
Versus an AR-15, higher insurance. Like you're driving a little VW, you know, your insurance rate's not so high. But a Ferrari, it's higher.
Well, if you include DMV visits in the process, regular DMV visits in the process of gun ownership, I assure you people are going to be like, why bother? This is just too much trouble. You know what I mean? I tend to think that it's also disincentivizing. I think there would be many more cars on the road if it was easier to own a car, if it was less expensive to own a car, if there were less hoops that you had to jump through when it came to regulations of cars and you as a driver. And I think the same would apply to firearms. I think we'd have far fewer of these things. I think people would be more measured in terms of how many they own. I think one military-style assault rifle in your household is more than
enough. Per household,
Once again, unless you're living in the zombie apocalypse, unless you're living in The Last of Us, you don't need all that firepower in your house.
But by the way, people that are in the Army and the Marines and the Air Force and blah, 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 who have those guns, they don't get to take them back to the quarters.
No. Absolutely
so,
not.
So, I mean, seriously, these are people that are trained for this shit. Trained.
Yeah.
To use this. They are trained on a weekly, daily basis. My cousin, before M16, she was trained on an M8, which is basically an M16, as an Army person. And she was like, yeah, I shot it, and I would never want them in my home.
Now imagine what one of those weapons does to a child.
Exactly.
It's staggering.
Did you see the Washington Post?
The Washington Post thing?
Oh, yeah. God. They did a simulation.
I started crying. It was just awful.
Even that was too sanitized, I feel like. People need to see the real horror.
But it still made me cry, David, because it was like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
No, the bullets are traveling so fast that when they hit their target, they send out a shockwave that basically liquefies the tissue around it.
Your body.
Like, it was quoting ER people who were talking about they're trying to stitch tissue back together, and it just crumbles away because it's the collagen that holds the skin together has been broken and torn by this shockwave that travels out from the point of entry.
Yeah. And don't bullets travel faster than the speed of sound? I think they do.
They do, but what's interesting about the 230 that's from an AR-15, I learned this. A 9mm, which is a more rounder bullet, by the way, and has less gunpowder in it.
Oh.
And so the 230, it's more of a like an arrow-looking bullet. And the gunpowder is so much more. So it shoots more shit at you than a 9mm, which is a big gun. I mean, that's a big bullet. That's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Mind you. And if you hit somebody right, they're dead. But with a 230, hi, gunsplainers. The gunpowder in it is much larger, and the bullet is more targeted, that it fucks you faster. And that bullet, because of how it's with the propelling with the gunpowder, it can go 6 fucking football fields in a second.
Okay, well, someone's here to contradict you. Let's hear from that person.
The Gunsplainer, starring Chuck Boltzbach. Brought to you by Chesterfield Cigarettes, when one lung is enough.
The Gunsplainer roamed the West, but only appeared to people after there was trouble.
Oh,
my.
Them Indians just came out of nowhere.
Well.
Thank God nobody's hurt.
They attacked our wagon train with Winchesters.
Pardon me, ma'am.
Huh?
What?
Where'd you come from?
Those weren't Winchesters.
What?
You know, used by the Redskins.
Excuse me?
The Native Americans. The rifle used by the Radicals was the Colt Burgess Rifle, also known as the 1883 Burgess Rifle, a lever-action repeating rifle, which, although utilizing the same 44-40 Winchester cartridge...
Oh, we need some help here, mister.
...has an octagonally shaped 650-millimeter barrel, and actually a stronger action design than the Winchester.
Is anybody going
to
help?
Because it has a toggle joint system to lock the breech block, and the extension of the loading lever...
Oh, forget it, Mary. Let's go.
No kidding. What a schmuck. Which
is the Gunsplainer.
People don't know. They just don't know. They have no idea.
By the way, who was that balding, overweight, middle-aged man? I wanted to smack him.
That was the Gunsplainer.
Stay tuned now for Have Gun, Will Troll.
Rocky Mountain Mike, Richard Hensel.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Mary in Ann Arbor. Holy shit. I love that.
Freaking brilliant. I love that bit. It's the most... It's so... Perfect.
Yes, it is.
Because they call up to Stephanie's show and go, oh, well, it's not an AR, it's an assault rifle, it's Amerlite. I don't fucking care.
It's completely irrelevant.
D. Schneider actually said assault rifles, and somebody fucked with him. He goes, I don't fucking care, it's semantics.
Yeah,
I love
D.
Schneider.
You know, I wrote an article
for
The Guardian years ago about the time that I was shot at. Have I told you guys the story?
No.
No, but we're way late for a break. Can you hold that story until after we take
when we
a
come
break?
Back.
All right.
You're so late.
Fine.
We're very, very chatty today. We have to take a break. But you know what? Hold the thought. We're also going to talk about this ridiculous law that's being pushed through the Idaho legislature about abortion trafficking. Yeah. If you're wondering where all the fuckery is happening, take a look at your state legislature. Not Congress. Congress is completely impotent. All the worst things are happening at the state legislature level. Just throwing that in there. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more still to come. But today's show is brought to you by the After Party Podcast on our Patreon page every Friday. That's tomorrow. Kimberly Johnson and I record a fourth Bob Seska Show podcast for the week. But this one's completely different from the Tuesday show or the Wednesday show or the Thursday show. The Friday After Party is loaded with all the politics that you want, while also including uncensored, completely obscene conversations about sex, drugs, rock and roll, movies, television, or personal lives. All the crap we can't get away with on the free show. So please help support this podcast right now by subscribing to our Friday After Party for just $10 per month. And bonus, you're also going to get 2 Shadow Docket shows every week included in that level of support. Plus, you can post questions for our guests, our Wednesday interview guests. So run, don't walk. Sign up now. BobSeskaShow.com. Just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And we thank you.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska! All-time favorites all day long!
Yeah, this is, I think this is a brand new album out. It's a band called Razor House, brand new to the show at least. And this is the lead cut off of the album. This is called Life Tears the Strange.
like.
Yeah, links in the description to support Razor House. This is kind of a super group. This is Mark Panic, vocals, guitar, keyboards, Curtis Ruptash, bass and synth. He's from Bass Case, Peabody, and Sherman. David Soycut, I think is his last name, drums and synth. He's he plays with Robert Pollard, Stabbing Westward, Machines of Loving Grace. I remember Machines of Loving Grace from the early 90s. Wow. Mark Kootz on guitar. He's from Sport of Kings and Chuck Moole. And Jeff Harris on guitar. He's from Joy Thieves and The Human Element. Holy shit. This is a great, great band. Can't wait to play more from them. BobSuska.com/music to submit. And once again, links in the description to support all the indie music here on the show. Okay, David, your story. What was your story? Tell us a story. Tell us your story.
It's not a great story. It's okay. A scary story. So back when I was 18, I had a friend who was dating a guy and they were breaking up because he was out of control with the drinking and the drugs and she wanted to get the fuck out of there because he was scary. So we waited until we knew he was at work. And we went to the apartment and we were like packing things into boxes.
Oh, been there, done that.
And he got fired and came home early from work, wild-eyed, probably coked out of his mind. And they went in the kitchen to talk for a minute. And then, and I'm like, you know, stuffing records into a crate. I'm like, here's Prince 1999, you know, haircut 100. And then she explodes out of the kitchen and goes, run, he's got a gun.
Whoa, hell.
What? So I dropped what I was doing and ran the fuck out the door behind her. And he came to the door and started shooting. And he hit a couple of cars. And we managed to get into my car and get away without getting hit. Now, even if I had had a gun in that situation, the time it took for me to process the information, reach over, unsnap my holster, draw my gun, I'd be dead. I mean, we're all done. You know, like he would have put a bullet in me and that would have been the end of the story. Like there's no, I mean, people think that every kind, they carry a gun and it's going to be just like a Clint Eastwood movie or something and everyone's going to move in slow motion and they're going to know exactly who's good guys and bad guys. And it's just going to, you know, and it does not work that way.
I mean, that's a delusion.
The only sensible solution was to fucking run for your life at that point.
Yes,
of course. He killed himself that night, by the way. The guy, like, was not playing around. He fucking shot himself in the chest and died that night because he didn't want to mess up his face for the coffin, which, what a piece of shit.
Wow. But, I mean, there's a delusional element, and this, I think, feeds right into the notion of the gun culture. I think it includes this idea that we're all going to be like Rambo. We're all going to be like Han Solo. We're all going to have these amazing abilities to disarm situations with our firearms. Things are going to work out just like they do in the movies. Or Joel,
and everyone's
going to
wait their
the
turn.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is all, you're going to have that wherewithal. You're going to have that lucidity at 3 o'clock in the morning when you've been awakened from a stone cold sleep, that you're going to be able to grab your firearm and maneuver all through your house and take out the evildoers one by one with laser precision. That's bullshit. That is 100% bullshit.
Bullshit.
There are very few trained professionals who can actually do that, get away with that.
New York, remember? They were shooting at a guy and they all missed. And these are cops.
Yeah, exactly. So this is all shit that we need to disabuse the American people of. And it's going to take a long time. It's not an overnight solution, but I think it's a viable solution that we need to begin to engage with. Mainly because
I just remember when that essay came out, the comments filled up with gunsplainers.
Yeah.
You know, trying to tell me that, like, the right kind of holster and I'm just like, no, dude, you don't understand. This happened fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
element
if I had
of
hesitated
surprise.
Yeah.
For even an instant to reach for a gun, I would have had a bullet in me. Like,
exactly.
It just,
well, here's the other awful thing that's happening in state legislatures across the country. The Idaho legislature will vote to establish a new crime dubbed abortion trafficking that would limit minors' ability to travel for an abortion without parental consent, even in states where the procedure is legal. House Bill 242 defines abortion trafficking as an adult recruiting, harboring, or transporting the pregnant minor within this state without the parents' consent.
Seriously, you're trying to police sexual morals in a state called Idaho? come on.
So this is the kind of shit that we're facing in state legislatures. Maybe a little bit more attention, I think, we should be paying to these particular candidates, these particular races.
All I know is that they're trying to make The Handmaid's Tale a true story.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, Idaho has lost OBGYNs in one particular city. Because those
people...
No,
the hospital doesn't do births
They
anymore.
Can't do yes. any sort of health care for women who are pregnant that going to the hospital who need pregnancy care.
In fact, I think 45% of obstetricians have already left Idaho.
That's horrible for those women and anybody that wants... oh my God.
This is the...
But it's another thing. It's like the fucking Republicans are all about states' rights. States' rights.
Yep.
And yet, unless it's a fucking blue state. And then they're going to like interfere with your prosecutions. They're going to threaten your district attorney. You know, it's like as long as... It's like states' rights for hillbilly states, but not the rest of us. You know,
Yeah, this would affect certainly doctors and nurses who help out young girls. I imagine, like, for example, abortion pills are still in existence in Idaho and certain hospitals and pharmacies and so on. They're still there. It's not, like they're not necessarily being handed out, but they're available. And if you happen to give one to a child out of mercy, then you could be subject to the penalties in this law. I think that's also part of it.
Does this include the morning after pill, which is not an abortifacient?
No, it's not. There are several morning after pills covered in the Affordable Care Act, in fact, that
I didn't look up. Does this bill call to event that this is abortifacients, which is not an abortifacient? I mean, seriously, Plan
B is
not.
I think what they're considering is the Hobby Lobby decision, which turned all morning after pills into abortion pills, if you believe that they are. That was essentially the insane Hobby Lobby ruling. If you believe that these pills cause an abortion, therefore you do not have to pay for that coverage in the health insurance plans of your employees. That was the Hobby Lobby decision.
So if I get busted with a dozen Quaaludes, which are illegal, and say, but I believe these are antibiotics, like that's legal?
No, you wouldn't be that lucky, David. I'm sorry. That would not work, unfortunately. But this is the madness that we're dealing with. This is the Supreme Court that we're dealing with.
It's the same logic, though. Yeah. If it's like, if I believe these are antibiotics, you know, then they must be.
So that's what's happening in Idaho. Just more fuckery state by state. Meantime, Donald Trump is praising the Manhattan grand juries now, or the Manhattan grand jury now.
Why?
I don't know. He's decided that maybe if I kiss their asses, if I praise them like I praise
nice
Kim
Jong-un.
You nice
people.
Yeah.
You're so smart and cool, and I respect you so much. You won't indict me,
going
will
on vacation
you?
Next week, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This is the Putin Xi Chairman Kim strategy from Donald Trump. If I kiss their asses, I'm going to have the greatest relationship with these people. He said, I have gained such respect for this grand jury and perhaps even the grand jury system as a whole. The evidence is so overwhelming in my favor and so ridiculously bad for the highly partisan and hateful district attorney that the grand jury is saying, hold on, we are not a rubber stamp, which most grand juries are branded as being. We are not going to vote against a preponderance of evidence or against large numbers of legal scholars all saying there is no case here. Drop this sick witch hunt now. Preponderance of evidence doesn't even matter. This is not a matter of a jury like in a trial. All they need to do in a grand jury is find probable cause in order to hand down a recommendation to indict, right?
A preponderance of evidence, I believe, is a subpoena more so than a probable cause.
Okay.
I believe that. Hi, legal people.
Yeah.
I believe a preponderance of evidence is for a subpoena. Which is harder to prove. A grand jury is probable cause. Or it's like, hey, we found a crime. We found some criming, bucko, and we're indicting you. And then you have to prove your innocence, as you are supposed to be, in a court of law.
Thank you, Jody.
See, Law and Order.
So I'm wondering if this is a matter of Donald Trump knowing something that we don't about this grand jury, or if Donald Trump's just pissing into the wind. Yeah, just bullshitting he always does.
His imaginary deadline passed.
Yes, it did.
That's right. Yeah. That might so be why he said.
He's like, they decided not to indict me. No. Yeah. Like, so I love them. They're so smart, you know.
No. And they're going on vacation that was pre-planned, by the way.
Yeah.
Next week. But Weisselberg just fired Donald Trump's attorneys.
Yeah, of course. Which attorneys? Does that include Taco Penis?
No, I mean, Weisselberg was being paid by Donald Trump.
Oh,
attorneys.
I see what I mean. Oh, I gotcha. Okay, so he was...
And he fired them, yesterday or the day before. And so this is not a thing. Like, the grand jury was supposed to go for Easter,
mm-hmm.
because we're Christians.
Yeah.
Apparently. And so they got 2 weeks off for Easter. And so they could be called back anytime, by the way.
I love your funny
air quotes with Easter. I'm doing air quotes. I mean, okay. Because I'm the worst Catholic ever. It's like, Good Friday sounds like a bad day because he died. Why do we call that good? Anyway.
Yeah.
They're doing an Easter break, basically,
mm-hmm.
for 2 weeks that was planned in January. But Weisselberg just fired Donald Trump's attorneys, the attorneys
which
that Donald
Trump
was paying
for. Which is what Cassidy Hutchinson did.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Right before she went, you know, cooperating with the investigation,
exactly.
she fired
and
the Trump attorneys.
And by the way, he's been in Rikers for how many days?
Yeah, I don't know. But what, like 6 months now or something?
That was like 90 days he's been in there.
Yeah.
And 90 days at Rikers is like a million days at a prison.
Yeah. It can't be fun. Any prison or prison adjacent facility is going to be a nightmare.
Oh, and better than Rikers.
Yeah.
That's the worst place you could ever go to. And I've been railing against Rikers for years, even with Weisselberg. And he's like, I'm fucking 60-whatever, 70-whatever years old. I've been here for 90 days. Fuck you. I'm going to testify. I don't know this. Mm-hmm. I'm just assuming.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck Rikers.
Well, let's talk about the Law and Order Party here for a second. Larry Sabato tweeted earlier today that 57% to 38% of American adults think criminal charges, if filed against Trump, should disqualify him from running for president again. So that's good news. 57% think that he shouldn't be allowed to run for president again. But only among Republicans, 75% think it should not disqualify Trump. So there's your Law and Order Party, and that's a Quinnipiac.
Well, I mean, clearly we figured out that logic and thinking are not what they're good at.
Like, no.
Applying one set of standards and values across the board, you know, it's not – I've been wanting to ask, like, just corner a Republican and be like, so do you think that Barack Obama should have been prosecuted for paying hush money to a prostitute while he was in office, that he wrote the check on the Resolute desk?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, he did that? He should be in jail. And you're like, well, no, actually, he didn't. That's your guy.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
but
yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. There's no consistency anymore. We're in the post-hypocrisy era. All that matters is that their guy is the last guy in the musical chairs competition. You know,
we're
what
in the
they
upside
want,
down.
What they want is they want Donald Trump to become president. And then no one else ever again after that.
Yes, exactly.
It'll be Donald Trump, president for life. We won. We now get to control the country forever. That's the mission.
And then air quotes gets
and
to
other
inherit
Republicans are down with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course they are.
Yeah.
Of course they are.
Like Kevin McCarthy is just giving up on his whole presidential aspirations just because we get, you know.
Doesn't
that's
care.
What I don't understand.
Yep.
It's all about winning. It doesn't matter what the details are and what the ramifications are, what the blowback happens to be. If they're winning, if they win the presidency, that's golden for them, and they don't want to give up that seat. I mean, that's why the insurrection happened on January 6th. That's why Donald Trump fought so hard and had so much support throughout that campaign, whether it was from Fox News Channel or elsewhere. because they realize that if Donald Trump is successful, that means permanent Republican control of at least the federal government and then on down in the states thereafter. So that's the entire mission. It's a game of musical chairs. Whoever the last one is in the chair. Yeah. Well, I know that, but it doesn't matter. Once he goes.
No, it's Don Jr., air quotes. Don, I'm on coke, air quotes, Jr.
Yes, that's right.
Don Jr.'s on coke.
So there we are.
Hold on, Bob, before we go on.
Yeah?
Apparently a 4-year-old can open carry an AR-15 in Missouri.
What? What is that?
Missouri Republicans vote to affirm toddlers' rights to carry. It's Vanity Fair.
What? Is it the state legislature? The Republicans there are saying that toddlers should be able to open carry firearms?
Missouri Republicans vote to affirm toddlers' rights to carry firearms in the streets. This is Vanity Fair. I mean, I'm going to go with that.
What the hell? Why am I surprised? Why am I sitting here surprised at this? We're past surprised. I shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, they've made it easier for mentally ill people and blind people to buy guns. Why not 4-year-olds?
Exactly. I mean, this is insane. It's hold on. You got to see this. They voted to reject Republicans an amendment. Voted to reject an amendment that would have banned minors from being allowed to openly carry guns without adult supervision.
Yeah.
And now 4-year-olds, 14-year-olds walking in. Blah, 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 oh my God.
So
pro-life of them, right?
Right. The 4-year-olds, because they're entirely capable of managing a deadly weapon.
And by the way, there is scientific proof that women, lady people, our brains are more adult than y'all's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone who
knows
when
we're 20 years
that.
Old and then y'all kind of be adults at 25.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It's probably hormonally related. But 25-year-olds, that's where we should allow people to get guns at 25. Because you can't rent a car or a hotel room until you're fucking 25.
There's just no rationalizing this. This is insane. It's crazy that we even have to sit here and go, oh my God, 4-year-olds shouldn't have access to firearms and be able to carry them around however they want. It's a no-brainer. These are people who are actively banning drag shows to protect children.
Exactly.
And they're saying, oh yeah, but by the way, you can't go to the drag show, but here's an AR-15 to carry around at the playground.
Oh no, my mom's 90th birthday special. There's so much Harvey Korman in drag. I'm like, will they show this in Florida?
Shit. And nothing was quite as funny as Harvey Korman in drag. Oh, my God.
And he was brilliant in drag. Yeah. And, by the way, will they ban it in Florida?
Good luck.
Yeah, because I doubt it, because we have evidence that Harvey Korman is heterosexual. You know,
yeah. Oh, there's that. True. Yeah.
All right.
It's got nothing to do with men in dresses and everything to do with fucking with the queers.
Let's take, on that note, let's take one last break here and wrap up the show right after these words. On the Harvey Korman and drag note,
been a day.
Good time to take a break. Back with more show after this.
Bob Seska plays more music.
This is Feed Your Wolves from England. I love this. This is a song called Easy. We've played this before, but you should buy it if you haven't already. Links in the description to support Feed Your Wolves and to support Razor House. BobSeska.com. Find this episode dated 3/30/23. Click on that link. Scroll on down and you're golden. You got it. Just click on those links and start buying music, adding to your record collection. Okay, so...
Speaking of buying music, yes. I want to set the record straight on something.
Okay.
The stupid J6 defendants song made it to the number one on the downloads of iTunes for one day.
Yeah.
Now, that has nothing to do with radio play and nothing to do with actual sales.
No.
And it's actually, like, has not, in terms of actual, like, Billboard magazine ratings, it peaked at number 152 and has not gone any further. It's like, it was temporarily, like, anyone can who understands the music industry right now can explain to you that, like, daily downloads are a tiny, insignificant portion of who's listening to the music.
Yeah.
Because most people don't download. They just stream. So, like, this whole, like, I've got a number one song. I'm like Elvis. And I'm like, no, Donald Trump. The only thing you have in common with Elvis is obesity and polyester.
And a 40-pound impacted cola.
Yeah, and an out-of-control drug habit. But other than that...
Yeah, that's ridiculous. He also said he won the 2020 election by a lot. I won by a lot. No, he didn't. He didn't win by a lot. He didn't win at all. He lost by a lot. Yeah, Donald Trump exaggerates, makes things up. This is probably one of those situations where Stephen Miller printed out the thing when the song was at number one and said, here, you're at number one for, I don't know, the next coming year or so. You're going to be collecting all the Grammys at the Grammy Awards, Elvis. They're just random people in a prison block somewhere singing the national anthem. It's not January 6th. They're not putting them all in the same prison block. I think this is debunked already, but it doesn't matter. And then it's got his reading of the Pledge of Allegiance over top of that, which I mentioned on Fugelsang last night. Pay close attention to the indivisible part of that pledge, secessionists. Yeah. You're talking about seceding from the Union. You're pledging that the nation will remain undivided, indivisible. Donald Trump says the word in the whatever awful song that is. Which, by the way, also is showing
the
January...
Yeah, but he just thinks it means that you're not invisible.
Yeah, right.
It's like, indivisible means I can see you, right?
He's completely getting the definition of the word wrong, I'm sure. Let's see what else.
And this is where, again, I feel like the fucking media is, like, just sleeping on the job. Because we need to talk about the fact that he is glorifying attacking our country.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He is, and they won't even call him racist. And it's like, this is the most racist, openly racist public figure, aside from Ron DeSantis, that the American, maybe George Wallace, mm-hmm. with his axe handle, qualifies as being as racist as Donald Trump. But, and I, the whole thing with, I'm still like, the thing that sticks in my throat, like, again and again and again, is like Ron DeSantis, like, shipping busloads of immigrants to random parts of the country.
Thank you.
Like, they're fucking cattle that you can just, like, ship around, and it, like, no one's racist. That is racist. Racism. We need to call it out. There's this huge reluctance in news organizations to ever mm-hmm. call a racist. They say racially charged, racially insensitive. It's like, no, the motherfucker is a white supremacist. Yeah. Call him that.
I will say this, though, and I think all of that stands. I think that's completely appropriate for us to continue
Thank
to hold
you, because
the
I would
major...
poke you in the eye if you argue with me right
no,
now.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that... You know, sometimes we can take this ourselves and run with it and, in fact, get a lot more visibility than any one cable news show would get just by spreading it virally all over social media. You can only sit around waiting for cable news to have an epiphany for so long before you say, okay, well, look, we got to use the internet here, whatever we can, whatever platform we have, whatever following we have, to get the word out that we want to get out, right? We need to get the message out ourselves, too. Amplify the message that's out there. There are people with very popular Twitter accounts or Facebook accounts, whatever, Instagram accounts, TikToks, what have you, that you can amplify that will actually reach more people than any one cable news show can. So there are other avenues here to push while we're also, it's just like what I was saying earlier about guns. It's like, you know, we can start to roll back some of these deregulatory regimes in some of the red states, and we should do that. We should endeavor to make sure that happens while at the same time tackling the path of least resistance, which is eliminating the desire to stockpile firearms in this country. One last thing here, I think, before we wrap up. Republicans are trying to shield ex-presidents from prosecution.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah, this is a law.
Again, I want to be like, okay, let's pretend that you just found out that Barack Obama really did steal thousands of classified documents.
Yeah.
That, like, give away our nation's secrets to, say, I don't know, whoever you want to call the bad guys, and you don't think you should be prosecuted. Or just, it's like they think the shoe is never, ever going to be on the other foot.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which, to be fair, no Democrat's probably going to get to the presidency and commit the kind of crimes that Donald Trump has committed. But the fact that they just, like, we're going to break the system to make an exception for our, you know, orange-faced God, our fucking, you know.
Dear leader.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Star-Spangled Tanner.
Yep.
This fucking shit-colored bronzer. And, like, we're going to break everything for this because it'll never happen the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, this is never going to become law, by the way. This proposal working its way through the House Republican caucus. It's got to go through the Senate. It's got to be signed by Joe Biden, and neither of them will ever sign it. This is basically banning any prosecutor from ever prosecuting an ex-president of the United States. So you've got not only federalism issues, you got states' rights issues in this,
yes.
But you've also got the fact that it's just fappery. It's just masturbation. It's never going to become law. So therefore, what we're seeing here is virtue signaling. This is a way to keep the donations rolling in. Well, look, they're going to do this to protect Donald Trump, so I'll give them more money. Sure. But they're not going to actually do it.
It's like the kind of laws you would make up when you were pretending to be a cop when you were four.
Yeah.
You know, like, it is against the law for you not to Lego my ego.
Well, let's see what else. I mean, one of the unforeseen circumstances here, one of the unforeseen consequences is that if they pass this legislation, which they won't be able to prosecute Joe Biden after he leaves office. This applies. See, that's the thing.
Oh,
they
switch it up for that.
Yeah. They're saying, well, if it's a Democrat, it's okay. Which makes
that's
it even less likely
about
to
never
become
seeing
law.
The shoe on the other foot.
Right.
It's like, well, it's just like, okay, no presidents for the rest of their lives post-term are untouchable by the law. Okay, great. So you're going to do that, extend that to Biden and Obama as well, and President Harris after her term? You know,
honey, you think she's going to be president? I love that about you.
I don't know.
They're pulling the full Hillary.
I've been really disgusted, actually. That's the other thing I'm pissed at the mainstream, like the broadcast media about, is the fact that they're, like, trashing her and based on nothing. Because every time one of these, like, we hate Kamala stories comes out, then you start, like, looking under the tablecloth and it's all smoke and mirrors. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
It's just some disgruntled, random, anonymous source who went and bitched to Politico and then they built a whole scandal, quote unquote. Yeah. Let me do some Don Jr. air quotes here. Scandal around it.
Like, Don Jr.'s on coke.
Yep.
I just love how that it just suddenly shut down David. I played that sound. He's like, where's David? And just he stopped talking. Are you still there, David?
I just ran
out of things
he's
to say.
Me.
Okay.
He's like,
by the way, I just noticed here on Twitter, Charlie Kirk just said on his show, he said, do white people get money because our ancestors, 6,000 of them, died in the Civil War so that blacks could be free?
Oh, my fucking God. Was that out loud?
The dumbest man in American politics is Charlie Kirk. See also previous quote.
Only his thoughts were as extensive as his gums. You know?
Oh, he's got a weird facial twitch that I would attribute to some form of uppers, some form of stimulant that he is ingesting prior to doing his show that makes his face twitch. Next time you watch a Charlie Kirk video on Twitter, watch for the face twitch. I'm just saying.
I think that may just be a tick. It's like a trauma thing. His daddy probably did it when he was
maybe. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying. I'm assuming that it's Adderall
just play
or
one on
cocaine
TV.
Or something. He needs it, obviously, because he's got a teeny tiny walnut brain that always falls out of his head. Falls right through the ear hole and lands on the ground. And he has to shove it back in there with a Q-tip. Okay, that's the show. See you on the Shadow Dock at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Bye-bye.
Bye, folks.